Whether life's journey is full of triumphs and victories, riddled with struggles and disappointments, or maybe a little bit of both, it's been our experience that God's compassions never fail and His faithfulness is new every morning.
Welcome to Home the Roof Chronicles with Paul and Jamie Hamilton. Join us each week as we transparently share stories of God's faithfulness in our lives to be an encouragement to yours. Welcome to Home the Roof Chronicles. My name is Paul.
My name is Jamie.
And it's hard to believe we're already 1 month into spring. Jamie and I have been busy planting our gardens and finishing our little chicken coop outside for our three little chickens.
Yes, the chickens are ready to move out. They've probably been ready to move out for a good week. So I'm excited to kind of get them settled outside. And
it is amazing how big they've gotten.
They've gotten big very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
We're kind of looking forward to later in the summer where they lay eggs. I've already had people asking me, well, when is your chickens going to lay eggs? And I'm like, well, maybe in August, I think, maybe. But
kind of reminds me of a funny story I found on the internet the other day. Says Jake decided that he wanted to start farming chickens, so he goes to a chicken farmer and buys 1,000 chicks. The next month, Jake goes back and buys 500 more. The following month, he returns to the chicken farmer and buys another 500 chicks. The chicken farmer then commented, "Your chicken farm must really be coming along great by now." Jake replied, "Sadly, no. I'm not sure what I'm doing wrong. Either I'm planting them too deep or upside down or too close together."
Oh, that's bad. That's really, really bad.
I can guarantee we haven't planted our chickens out in the grass or
yes,
anything.
But I have attempted to plant tomato plants.
Yes.
I started them in February by seeds, and they sprouted very quickly, and they grew, and then they got to a point they didn't grow anymore, and I thought, what is going on with my tomato plants here? And so I made a decision about a week or two ago, let's just go ahead and put them out in mm-hmm. the garden because I'm afraid I'm going to kill them in here. So we planted them out in the garden. Well, they're dead now. So I'm probably going to end up having to go and buy plants that have already been grown and so we can have some tomatoes this year.
Well, and I mean, one thing you can think of is that once we do plant the ones we go by, we can just look at the neighbors and go, look, they grew overnight.
I don't think they're going to believe us.
I mean, tomatoes have always been something Jamie and I have grown. I know there's one story back from our early years in ministry where tomatoes played a big part of the story, if you can believe that. It was in the late 90s, and we were running our Clean Heart Recovery Program for people who were in sexual addiction and porn addiction and their spouses. We were running this program out of our house. And it was very early in our ministry days of Hole in the Roof. We hadn't quite built a good financial base yet, so we had some money coming in, but there were a lot of lean times. And this happened to be one of those evenings. I remember, Jamie, I remember you looking through the refrigerator and the cabinets trying to find something to eat. And you looked at me and said, we were probably going to have to eat out of the garden.
Yeah, there wasn't really much. There really wasn't many things to put together in our pantry. So I got this idea to go out into the garden, and we had plenty of tomatoes out there.
Mm-hmm.
So I pulled some tomatoes out of the garden, came inside, cut them up. This was kind of prior to internet days.
Yeah, this is before Food Network.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I cut them up and I put them in a 9x13 pan and sprinkled them with breadcrumbs. I think we actually had some Parmesan cheese in the refrigerator. I did that, used some spices we had and some herbs we had and put them in the oven and we baked it.
Yes.
And that, my friends, is what we had for dinner that night. And there was a little bit of challenge when we were all sitting around the table with our five kids and thanking God for our tomatoes and breadcrumbs. It was mm-hmm. a little bit challenging because we had really thought that God was going to come through for us a lot bigger than tomatoes and breadcrumbs, but we knew we needed to bow our head and thank him for what he had provided.
And it was one of those evenings where, you know, like I said, we were getting ready to do our Clean Heart Recovery program, and we'd had one of the couples from the group contact us earlier and ask if they could stop by early to have a little private one-on-one counseling session. So, you know, we had the kids wolf down the tomatoes and the breadcrumbs, sent them up to their rooms so we could have this counseling thing. And I remember the doorbell ringing and the couple coming in, and they had bags of McDonald's in their hand. And I got excited at first because I was like, look, the Lord has provided.
God spoke to them to bring us some food.
Yes. And the gentleman looked at me and he says, I really hope you don't mind. We were in a rush to get over here on time after work, so we just went through the drive-thru and grabbed our dinner. Do you mind if we eat while we talk? Well, what am I going to say? No, you know, you can't eat in front of me. I mean, you can't do that. So as we talked, you know, I vividly, this is seared in my brain. I remember him looking at me and taking a bite out of his hamburger. And while, you know, the special sauce is on his lip and everything, he's looking at me and talking. And honestly, I cannot tell you a word of what that man said to me during that counseling session. And because I was focused on this hamburger.
It was challenging. It was a challenge. It was a challenging evening for sure.
And both Jamie and I looked at each other a couple of times, and you know, we've known each other long enough, we know our looks and everything, and I could tell we both were really struggling. And then the rest of the people in the group started showing up, so we had to kind of put that aside and focus on ministering to all of these people who were here. And after they left, we were sitting there and we were just like, I can't believe that happened. And you know, we're kind of talking.
It was almost depressing. We were a little bit discouraged.
Yes.
And I think we felt like, wow, we had just poured our hearts out into these people. And here we ate, you know, tomatoes and breadcrumbs for dinner. And here we poured our hearts out into these people. And, you know, where you're just kind of questioning God, like, God, what are you doing? I don't understand.
And it was probably about 45 minutes to an hour after the group was over, you know, our doorbell rings and we open up the door and it's a couple who was on our board of directors, and they're there standing with bags of groceries, and they're like, you know, the Lord really put on our heart that we needed to buy you guys some groceries. And it was very humbling. But it was a story, even to this day, that I use to remind myself that even though we don't see God working, he always is. We have to have faith that no matter what we're facing in life, God remains faithful. God is always working. God is always sovereign, no matter if we see it or not. And this brought me to a thing. 2 weeks ago, Jamie came to me in the morning and she's like, I've read this devotion out of my Springs in the Valley devotional book. And she goes, it's quoting the book of Habakkuk. And she asked me if she could read it to me, which I was like, yes. So she read it and it really touched me a lot. And we'll share a little bit more on it. But to give you a little background on Habakkuk, it's one of the lesser known minor prophets out of the Old Testament. And it's a different kind of book. It's not very long, but it's the only book in the Old Testament that consists entirely of a dialogue between a man and God. All of the other prophetic books record the prophet's message to the people of Israel.
Right.
You know, God had said, this is going to happen if you don't stop doing this. This was the only one where it's just a conversation. And it really, really touched both Jamie and I. The name Habakkuk means to embrace, or one who strongly enfolds. And he's referred to a lot of time as the Doubting Thomas of the Old Testament.
But in reality, he's the prophet of faith.
Yes.
And, you know, when you read through the book of Habakkuk and you hear the conversation that's going on between him and God, when you get near the end of that book, you know, Habakkuk is very honest about the circumstances that are surrounding him.
Yes.
He states the truth to God, which it's not that God doesn't know the truth. He's very aware of the truth. He knows what's going on. God's not sitting in heaven wringing his hands going, oh my gosh, I had no idea.
Yes, true.
You know, God knew what was going on, but Habakkuk told God the truth of what was going on. But when it was all said and done, after he had told the truth, he praised God and he glorified God.
He did. And it was one of those things that, yes, he had a lot of questions and he gave his questions directly to God. But in the end, he showed that he trusted God and really gave us one of the best set of verses to show us this trust. It's out of Habakkuk 3:17 through 19. Jamie, why don't you read that?
It says, even though the fig trees have no blossoms and there are no grapes on the vines, even though the olive crop fails and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, able to tread upon the heights. And that's awesome. That's mm-hmm. an awesome verse. I like it because I feel like I said before, it states the truth of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
We're not candy coating the truth. We're not trying to call something that's not going on and what's going on. It's Habakkuk stating the truth of what's going on. But he says, you know what? Despite all of that, God, despite all of that, what's going on, you're sovereign.
Mm-hmm.
You're sovereign, and I'm going to glorify you. I'm going to praise you. In your sovereignty, I'm going to do that. And mm-hmm. boy, that's a lesson for us today.
Yes. And I remember while we were having that discussion that morning, you were talking to me about how the author of the book paraphrased those verses out of Habakkuk for the time period that she was living in, which was the mid-1930s, was during the Great Depression here in the United mm-hmm. States. And she wrote this version, and you and I began looking at each other and going, well, that's still even kind of slightly outdated for 2024. And so we looked at each other and said, we need to come up with a modern paraphrasing of this. You know, we're not trying to rewrite the scripture. We're just trying
to put our heads together
mm-hmm.
And thought about what are the things that are going on right now in 2024? What are some of the things we're experiencing in 2024 that could be plugged into this verse that would help kind of make this verse current and fresh in our own hearts?
Yes. And so this is what we came up with. This is our present day Habakkuk 2024. Although disease destroy flocks, causing the price of eggs to skyrocket, and drought conditions cause the cost of meat to be unaffordable, the economy and interest rates are out of control, and gasoline prices are keeping me homebound, and gainful work is hard to find, and my bank account is near zero, yet I will rejoice in the Lord and be joyful in the God of my salvation.
Amen.
And that is, to me, that is so powerful, because I don't know about you all, but I'm sure you have the same experience Jamie and I have every time we go to the grocery store. You're walking through, you're putting things in your cart, you're adding things as you're going along, and invariably, and it gets earlier and earlier every trip,
mm-hmm.
one of us will look at the other and go, wow, that really doesn't look like $100 worth of groceries. Or, oh my gosh, have you seen the price of eggs? You know, they've gone up 50 more cents.
Or you pull something off the shelf that you usually buy, and when you pull it off, you hold it for a second and you look down at the price and you wrinkle up your face like, wait a minute, I just saw that last month and it was 20 cents cheaper, you yeah. know, now it's 20 cents more. And, you know, 20 cents may not seem like a lot, but when you start looking at all the items you're purchasing, and they're going up,
mm-hmm.
it becomes very overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And you wonder, how is God going to carry us?
Yeah.
How is he going to intervene in this situation?
Yeah. Or you look at the gas prices and you just kind of go, wow, you know, I remember a year ago, it was not this, you know, and it goes up. And there's times you have to kind of make the thought, is it worth putting gas in the car to go do this? Or is it better just to stay home?
Yeah.
You know, but with all of that, we have to keep our mind on what Habakkuk brings about. And that is, God is still in control, that we can rejoice because the sovereign Lord is my strength. And the thing that I got while reading those things, and really I would encourage all of you to read the entire book of Habakkuk. It's a short read, would take you 5 minutes to read the entire book. He reminds us to ask God the right questions, because a lot of times when we're in times of trouble, we're asking, how can I get out of this? But what we should be asking is, what should I be getting out of this?
I know I'm very guilty of that. I find myself many times trying to figure out, what have I done wrong? What is going on here? How can I get out of this? You know, I don't spend a lot of time wondering what I'm going to get out of it. You know, it's kind of like what we talked about on our last podcast, which was, we're going to be joyful. But that doesn't mean we're joyful necessarily in the actual circumstances that are occurring, but to be joyful in what it's going to produce on the other side. And, you know, that's very difficult.
Yes.
When you're not seeing what's going on, when you're very blinded right now to what's happening in your life. I know on a personal level, we've just kind of entered into a very much of a wilderness time period. I feel like God kind of has led us by the Holy Spirit into this wilderness time, and it's discouraging, it's lonely. And this verse really just touches me, because we've experienced all those things.
Mm-hmm.
We're experiencing those things now.
Yeah. And it is hard, because a lot of times we don't look at what God's trying to teach us. We look at the issues. We look at the problem. We look to other people. And a lot of times other people will look at you and be like, well, you just have to praise God anyway. And you just have to be happy. And, you know, or is there sin in your life? Is there a problem going on that's causing this not to happen? And you know, the bottom line is, everyone, and I'm not saying anything that's life-altering, life is hard. The Christian life is hard. If someone tells you otherwise, they're not being honest with you. And how do I know that? I know that because in John 16:3, Jesus himself says, I have said these things to you, that in me you may know peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. And it's one of those things that Jesus himself says, we're going to have issues. We're going to have problems.
Jesus himself was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
The Bible states that. Jesus just didn't haphazardly just wander into the wilderness. Jesus didn't sin and end up in the wilderness. No, it says that the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tested.
Yes.
And I think there are times in a Christian's life where we will be led by the Holy Spirit into wilderness experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very difficult. It's very challenging. And I think one of the things I've realized too is, I think people who are led into those wilderness times are very misunderstood. And that's always discouraging. I think that's what leads a lot to loneliness, is because you're misunderstood. People have ideas of what's going on. You know, people have ideas of, you know, if we go back to Habakkuk and what we just read, if we take the present day Habakkuk and we say, maybe you're having trouble affording gasoline, or maybe your bank account sitting at zero, and people want to equate that with some kind of an issue that's going on in your life, but that doesn't mean that's what's going on. When Moses went into the wilderness with the people, God fed them by manna.
Mm-hmm.
He fed them with manna, you know, every day, and the people began complaining about that. They didn't want the manna.
Yeah.
After a while, they were like, we want something else. We're tired of all this manna. We just want something else.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's times when you go into that wilderness season, like in my opinion, what Habakkuk is describing here, it's very wilderness-like. You know, everything just is, nothing's coming together. Everything's dying. There's nothing here. We have to be focused on God. God's supposed to be showing us something in our life during this time. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to see that sometimes when our hearts are so heavy with the circumstances that are going on around us.
True. And to think about it, when you look at the Bible and you look at different people in the Bible, there were a lot of people who were led into the wilderness. I mean, Jesus was led into the wilderness. Saul, after he had the Damascus Road experience with Jesus, and he basically went into the wilderness to study. We have Elisha, who, after facing the prophets of Baal, went off into the wilderness.
Yes, I mean, he did.
There were,
and he actually, and in the Bible says that he sat underneath a broom tree and asked God to kill him.
Yeah.
He was so overcome and so depressed. And that story just touches my heart, because I've been in those places where you just feel so overwhelmed with the circumstances of what's going on around you that you feel like you'd be better off if God would just take you home.
Yeah. And it's also, it's a lot like the story of Joseph. And I know this doesn't exactly sound like a wilderness experience, but I really feel like God showed me how it was a wilderness experience, because here he was living life great at home. He was the favorite son and everything. And all of a sudden, God moves things. His brothers sell him into slavery. He goes off into a foreign land. He's doing great in there. And then somebody lies about him. He gets thrown in jail. And then he gets forgotten about. And there's so many times that it's a wilderness experience there in Egypt for him. And then all of a sudden, at the right time, God raises him up. And I always love at the very end of the book of Genesis, when they're finishing the story of Joseph, there is this great verse. It's Genesis 50, verse 20. And Joseph looks at his brothers and said, "But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive."
Yeah.
And when you think about that, you think about your own wilderness experience. You think about what you're going through, and you sit there and you're like, "God, why am I going through this? And what is going on? And what is happening?" And the bottom line is, God is sovereign. God knows what he's doing. You and I may not know the future, but we know God, who already knows the future.
Yeah. I think so often we let our problems become our focus.
Yes.
Instead of what God is trying to teach us in the midst of our problems. Mm-hmm. It's easy to, and I know that I'm very guilty of that. I think I've shared this before, is that I'm very much I'm a very orderly person. I like things in order. I like to know what the future is. I want to put all my ducks in a row. Mm-hmm. I do not like surprises. I do not like being places where I don't know where I'm going. I despise those kinds of things. I know some people are just super adventurous at that, and they love that kind of stuff. And that has never been me.
Yeah.
My entire life, I've just been this woman of order. And so to go through a season where you're basically in a wilderness experience and everything's out of order and nothing seems to be making sense is very difficult. And there are times it is very easy to take your focus off of God and put it on the problem and try to fix the problem yourself. And I think we have come up with three things that God has shown us in regards to how to kind of deal with the situation when you're kind of in one of those Habakkuk seasons where nothing's going right, everything's going wrong, and God's wanting us to praise him.
The first one is commit your problem to God. I think that's something that we all need to learn to do, that instead of focusing on the problem and making the problem the star of the show, you need to take your issue and your problem or whatever's going on in your life and hand it over to God.
First and foremost, before you do anything.
Yes, you need to pray. You need to say, God, listen, this is what's going on. Be honest. God knows. You know, you're not going to shock him with what you're telling him. Second thing I would encourage people to do is open up your Bible. Read God's word. It helps us to remember how gracious God is, how righteous he is, how full of grace that he is, and honestly, how loving he is. When you sit and you read his word and you see what he's done for other people who are in situations, and he says, you know, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. Mm-hmm. You know, what he does for this person here, he'll do for you. And he'll provide you with that comfort. And then the last thing, and it's something, you know, has kind of been the theme of this entire broadcast, is focus on the fact that God is sovereign. Nothing surprises God. I mean, his very name, Yahweh, is I am who I am. In other words, he is and always has been and always will be. He's not shocked. He knows everything that's going on. And he's controlling everything that's going on. So whatever's going on in your life and whatever hard thing you're going through, whatever hard thing we're going through, we need to all remember that God is sovereign and God is always in control and he's faithful to work things out for good. Well, that's all for this week. Jamie and I wanted to thank you for choosing to listen to our podcast today. To learn more about us and our ministry, please visit us at www.holeintheroof.co. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram. Lastly, if you're in need of prayer, we would be honored to pray for you. To reach out to us for any reason or to send us your prayer request, email us at holeintheroofministries@gmail.com. See you all next week as we once again invite you into our living room while we discuss just how awesome God is.